You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I told you it was a busy first hour. By my count, we covered, in some shape, form, or fashion, about six or seven stories that first hour. That's a segment on the Liberty Roundtable show, but for us, that's a pretty full hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has flown into the studio. He was really dropping some bombs last week. It was the Sam and Eddie show the last hour, and it was a great hour. And so Eddie's back with me, Keith Alexander, not in tonight. It is almost unprecedented. I don't know if it's ever happened since he's joined on as a full-time co-host that Keith has missed 2 weeks in a row. Well, I guess he did, for all intents and purposes, log in a report for the first 30 minutes last week of at the council conference. So he did make an appearance, but he's normally in here for the long haul. And he's out this week. Last week he was doing a speaking engagement. This week he's on vacation with one of his sons, and that's great. And he'll be back with us for the next show. But I got Eddie the Bombardier Miller here, and we're going to be kicking the tires and lighting the fires. Pappy, I know you're still basking in the glow of your performance last week. We still got a lot of stories to cover tonight, but I'm going to let you say hello to the audience and, of course, to your brother-in-arms, Sam, who is over there at the studio in Utah.
Well, good evening, Cesspoolians. It's wonderful to be back here tonight. It certainly is. I flew in. Matter of fact, I parachuted out of that plane they were flying that cat on. And I got kicked off, you know, because I'm allergic to cat hair. But, you know, I was talking to my wife after the show last week, and I called and left a message with our brother Sam. My wife said I cut Sam off a couple of times, but at the time, you know, my ears aren't that great, you know, from the old thanks to the government and back in the old Nom Nom War. But she said I had cut Sam off a couple of times, but I wanted to apologize. I couldn't because, you know, we had a tough time last night, last week hearing some. But, yeah, it's great to be here tonight. And if I get a chance to talk about it, I know this is kind of off the topic, but my wife and I went to the Orpheum. It's the first time I've been there since I was a teenager, and first time I've been there without my 38. But I would like to tell you about that. And we saw Gone with the Wind, and that there was a lot of history in that. I didn't, when I was younger, I didn't know about it. But if we get time, I'd go back to that. But it's great to be here tonight, folks, and I hope you have a wonderful time listening to us tonight.
I don't think they have a choice, Eddie. It always is a great time here in the cesspool. But yeah, we'll make some time. You know, I didn't know that Pappy was going to be parachuting in here tonight. They opened up the Bombay doors of his B-52, and he jumped out instead of the napalm and landed right on top of the building here, and he crawled down the fire chute and came into the studio. That, you know, you never know with Eddie. But he wasn't originally scheduled to be with us this week, but he came in and helped fill the void, the massive void. You know, Keith cast a large shadow. But, Eddie, you said you were flying with that cat that we were talking about in the last segment of the first hour. I guess that's the wife. That cat would be the wife of this fashion designer if he could have his way. And we're talking about just, you know, it's not even appropriate for me to joke about it because it's such a just utterly despicable and disgusting and contemptible story. Not much more sick than homosexual marriage, but about the same. But I'll tell you one place you wouldn't find a story like that is in Russia. And I don't mean to beat a dead horse, and I don't mean to keep bringing up Russia, but I think Russia could be the key to the survival of Western civilization. If you're seeing a pulse of a resistance beginning to beat in Europe, you're seeing some nationalist parties rise up and doing some great things in Greece and in the UK and in Germany and some other places. So that they've got a pulse. Over here, it's still more theory than practice. Political cesspool or some of the leading theorists, of course, but you're not seeing a big political groundswell. The Tea Party's had a chance, didn't really do much. You're certainly not seeing any strong, not really any strong America First nationalist leaders of the make and mold of Pat Buchanan rising up. But you're seeing a lot more of that in Europe. But in Russia, I tell you, Russia's got everybody beat right now. We've talked about the fact that, I mean, Putin gave everybody, I think, a paid day off from work if they would go home and have kids or try to get pregnant. I mean, you know, he wants to raise the birth rate of Russians. He is cracking down on sodomy. I mean, he's cracking down on it in a big way. He's trying to revive and protect and preserve Russian culture, which is what everybody in every nation, I don't care what race you are, you should be doing that, and whites should be doing it too. Not everybody else gets to do it, and whites don't. We should be doing it. I think it's natural and healthy for everyone to do it. You can respect diversity from afar. You want to go travel and take a vacation in another country, that's great. Enjoy the culture, visit it, soak it in. But you need to have homogenous ethnic nations to truly preserve multiculturalism. I guess in a way we are the true multiculturalists, because we want to preserve different cultures rather than blend them all into one cocoa looking Tower of Babel. But here's what's going on in Russia, Eddie. Great stuff. And it rarely gets better than this, except for the fact that white Russian demographic population is on the upswing again. I'm the only country, I believe, the only white nation that has that's going up. So you see, it can be done. Russia's lower house of parliament, the Duma, has passed a law this week imposing heavy fines for providing information about homosexuality to children under the age of 18. The measure was passed unanimously and will become law when approved by the upper house and President Vladimir Putin, which is virtually a formality. So-called gay rights campaigners clashed with anti-gay activists outside of the Duma. The lower house also passed a bill imposing up to 3 years in jail for those who offend Christian believers. The new law on offending religious feelings of the faithful, and they're talking about Christians in this context, will also take effect after approval by the upper house and the president. Pro-church protesters outside of the Duma on June 11th demonstrated their support for the new law defending Christianity. Gay rights campaigners were attacked, and there were no police to stop the violence. When one group ran into a shop to take refuge, their attackers waited, and then they ran in to find them. Now, of course, we don't advocate violence, but, you know, they do. So, well, I guess, you know, these people really do. I mean, you see these creeps that were going out on May Day and ransacking the Gap and causing trouble and trying to fight people. I mean, they believe in violence, so they want to go out there. They better be ready for it and not cry to the police to protect them when they're going out there and stirring it up. Under the new law, private individuals promoting homosexual behavior among minors face fines of 5,000 rubles, while officials risk paying 10 times that amount. Businesses and schools could also be fined up to 50,000 rubles. Schools fine 50,000 in Russia for promoting the perversity of sodomy. A recent poll found that over half Russians believe that the gay and lesbian community should not enjoy the same rights as other citizens. God bless Russia. I guess far back in our ancestry, we would say, God save the queen. I'm going to say, God save the motherland.
I say Putin for president. Yeah. Well, you know, James, this ties in perfectly with what I've seen firsthand. Me and my wife were at the market, the Front Street Market this morning, and I've never seen so many white children. And I always make it a point to compliment the parents of having these white babies. I said, because we have far too few white babies these days. I can sit here and tell you, I can name about a dozen young women from 30 and below where I go to church. They teach at the school, and not only they don't have any children, they're not married and have no prospects because they're saved, that there's nobody in the market. When we come back from the break, James, I need to bring up Jeb Bush and multiculturalism.
We'll do it right after this, folks. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, just to show that we're live, unrehearsed, and unscripted, we're going to chase a rabbit with the bombardier right now. We were talking in that last segment about the very healthy stands that the Russian legislature has taken. I mean, you know, I think America, especially red state conservative Christian Americans, are still on the money about a lot of things. I mean, they're not as healthy and right thinking as they were in the 50s and 60s, but there's still enough there to where if they were truly in control of their own government, if the government actually fought for the people that vote, the Republican Party at least, you know, this country wouldn't look so far removed from what it did in its halcyon days of the 50s. So there's still good people in America, but the government and the media is just completely and totally criminally corrupt. But in Russia, you see a lot of natural, healthy things being pushed forth by the government, which is completely unheard of over here. Putin making a conscientious effort to plant the seed in the minds of the people that they need to be reproducing, that they need to raise the indigenous Russian birth rate. They need to... that's cesspool. That's right out of our statement of principles. I think every nation should do that. You know, they're fighting against the perversity of sodomy. They're reaffirming the Christian faith in Russia of all places. I mean, who could have ever thought, you know, the Russia of Lenin and Stalin? Who would have ever thought during the days of Lenin and Stalin that there would ever become a time where Russia, out of all the white countries, might be the one that is the flickering candle in the darkness? And, you know, I think that, you know, a strong case can be made for that. But, Eddie, talking about Putin, you know, he wants the Russians to have more kids. He's doing this, he's doing that. And we cover some stories out of Russia from time to time. And, you know, I'm not going to say Putin's God. I'm not even going to say he's great. But he's a politician. I know he's ex-KGB, and there's probably a lot about Putin. I mean, I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know. I don't have a vast interior knowledge of Russian politics and Putin's life history. But what I see, I like, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I wish we had a president like Putin. I will say that without question. But anyway, let's compare him to some of our so-called leaders, Eddie, and this ties right into what we're talking about.
Well, you know, we did have a president kind of like Putin because, you know, Pappy Bush was a CIA, which is the kind of the counterpart to the KGB. So we did have a CIA president here in Pappy Bush. But, you know, I was looking on the Internet the other day, and I saw, well, actually today, I saw where they're starting to push Jeb Bush, I would imagine, for the president in 2016. He's come out, and he's courting these the Mexican voters heavy right now. And so are the big unions here in the United States, James. He said, here's what he said to the Mexicans. He said that we need more Mexicans. We need more and more immigrants in this country. He said, because you are a very vigorous race. You're a fertile race. In other words, you're producing kids like crazy, you know, and the white race is dying. And everybody knows that the reason the white race is dying because people like James Edwards and these younger people that I know that I'm always talking about where I go to church and go to school, we have a school there. I can tell you of a dozen girls there who are 30 years old and less, who are not even married, have no prospects of marriage, are totally childless, and they're, you know, their clock's ticking. Well, here's Jeb Bush going up there wanting to bring more and more of these Mexicans in the country. And I'm wondering, Jeb, who do you think when we get the critical mass, we have a lot more Mexicans in this country? Do you remember this guy named Botha over there in South Africa? He tried the same thing with the blacks. And he was going to work with the Mandela, with the Mandelas. Well, guess what? Who's had her boated recently? Where is he now? They got rid of him. They got rid of him, man. They're not going to work with you. Also, with these labor unions, these big labor heads of the labor unions, these Anglo-Saxon white labor unions, when you get like 70-80% Mexicans, you know, other racists in there that they naturally don't like white people, who do you think they're going to put in to take your job and your son's job? You're not going to have that big fat cat easy job as a labor head anymore, son. It's going to be some Hispanic, some mestizo that can't even speak English. That's for sure. You know, and I tell you what, James, I think it's just pitiful because, like, I was going back to this situation in school right here. You just don't see any children. And when the ones that can't find husbands, they're working two jobs, three jobs to try to support their kids and put their kids in these so-called Christian schools. I'll tell you flat out right now, and I'm as hardcore Christian as anybody, but the vast majority of the people that have their kids in Christian school, James, they're not there to get a Christian education. And the point can be proved because if you come to Macon Road School, I can name on one hand with some fingers left over how many parents there come to church there regularly that have children in that school. They're there for one reason. They're there to keep their daughters and sons in away from the public schools, to keep their kids from being raped in the hallways. Because here in the United States, here in Tennessee, we have white children that are raped, sodomized, whatever, raped, girls being raped with Coke bottles. I mean, that happens there, you know, every week. You hear about it in the bathroom, in the school, in the hallways. And that's why these people have their kids in Christian schools.
Well, Eddie, you're exactly right. There was no such thing as private schools or Christian schools. I mean, the public schools were Christian schools back in the 50s. And, you know, and all these private schools didn't come in until after forced integration and busing. You know, there was no Briarcrest where I went, $10,000 a year private school, just to keep you away from Mogadishu at the public schools. Those have become, you know, little Mogadishus. Well, Jeb Bush, compared and contrasted to Vladimir Putin. I mean, yeah, you know, why is the white race dying, Jeb? Well, it's because of people like you. You have eradicated our breeding ground. You have to have both parents working now because of the oppressive tax rate and the cost of living. You have to have both parents working. You have destroyed cities with all of these policies since the 1960s, and so everybody has to move out and spend more money to buy a nice house in the suburbs just so they can live with some modicum of safety. And, you know, so all of that is going on, and of course, because you've destroyed the public school system with busing and everything else, as Keith Alexander says so often, Eddie, and he's exactly right, white parents can only have the number of kids they can afford to send to private schools, unless they live in places that aren't blessed with diversity.
If they're blessed with the if they live in areas that are deprived of the wonders of diversity, you can go to a public school. You can't go to a public school here in Memphis. Look, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, and good, hardworking, decent black families don't want to send their kids to the public schools either because they know we're right. They'd rather their kids go to private schools. So that's right, Jeb. I mean, because of people like you and anti-white hating politicians like you, our race is dying. We can't afford to have kids anymore because we want the kids that we have to live to see adulthood. And their lives would be very much at risk if they still were living in the inner cities and going to those schools. And, that's just for starters. And there's, of course, a lot of other reasons, not to oversimplify it, but we got about a minute left.
And on the reverse side, James mentioned the oppressive tax rates. That is so true. We have just about every plank of the Marxist Communist Manifesto installed, including the central bank, the IRS, and the oppressive graduated income tax, which white people just get their tax to death. On the other side of the coin, these Mexicans coming in here, undocumented, hate speech to say alien now, but listen, as soon as they come across the border, all they got to do is have an anchor baby. You got a Mexican couple across the border, and she drops an anchor baby in this country. She's immediately given a citizenship. They get free medical care. They get free housing. They get food subsidies, free education. It's just unlimited. In the state of Texas now, they're not even stopping illegals for driving. They don't have. Not only do they have to have any insurance like white people do. That's right. They can't. They've been told. Texas, Arizona's been told, don't stop the Mexicans, don't arrest them, don't take them to INS because we're not going to even come pick them up and fool with them. But that's why they're rewarding working white people. I mean, the illegals. We'll get back to the break. I'd like to finish up on those after we come back to the break, folks.
Pappy's tongue-tied. He's so excited about this story. But that was a good add-on to the one from the first segment. We'll be back with more, folks. I promise you that.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina,
Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're going to chase this immigration rabbit for a second, and I got a story on it, then I'm going to pass it back to Pappy. He's been dutifully taking notes about things he wants to convey to you when his mic gets turned back on. But first... Chipper Jones, the former Major League Baseball All-Star, he is being skewered as, you guessed it, a racist this week. What he wrote was, if you put some gator traps on the border, do you think that would stop them? That's all he wrote. If you put some gator traps along the border, do you think that would stop them? And so, of course, for saying that, Israel landmines their borders. I think a gator trap is a little more humane. But Israel isn't facing charges of xenophobia. But look, I think when this came up back in the mid-2000s, Lou Dobbs, when he was still on TV, I think like over 80% of Americans polled said they wanted the borders to be locked down. So how is it a fringe notion to say, you know, if you do this? And obviously that was a joke, but he's just saying, hey, we need to secure the borders. Well, he's getting called a racist this week in a big way. And of course he's apologized for it, but that's not the point. Eddie says he ain't going to apologize. Eddie says I wouldn't apologize for nothing. The fact is, immigration from south of the border is most certainly majority Mexican, Hispanic, whatever you want to call them. So pointing this out is racist, and Chipper Jones didn't even mention anything about non-white people in that tweet that I just read, which is seeing him being castigated by the anti-white media. He just said if you put some gator traps on there, wouldn't it stop him? But this is what the story reads. Now listen to this, folks. I'm going to read it in all its disgusting... verbiage, and we're going to get to it. Former Atlanta Braves star Chipper Jones, famous for an 18-month extramarital affair with a Hooters waitress, which produced a son. You know, I'm glad they pointed that out, because we know that the mainstream media really hates people, especially athletes, that have kids out of wedlock, and they really, you know, they're really about you getting married before you have a kid, you know, because there are no black athletes that have ever had an illegitimate son or a kid out of wedlock. So I'm glad the media is consistent, and the first thing they mentioned about Chipper Jones is that he had an affair and had a kid, because, you know, that's what they do for everybody, right? Number two, it says that Chipper Jones showed an incredible lack of sensitivity and a wildly racist tweet to say, and that was all he said. I'm not editing it to suit my purposes here. He said, if you put gator traps on the border, you think that would stop the immigrants or something like that. They said that's a wildly racist tweet. What is it about the Atlanta Braves? Don't they do sensitivity training down there? We all remember John Rocker, which, what did John Rocker say back in the mid-90s? What did he say? Basically, when I go to New York, I can't understand anything anybody's saying. And so he got drummed out of the league for that, of course. But now Chipper Jones, the story continues, has thrown his Stetson firmly into the outrageously racist ring with an unbelievably immature, insensitive, and racist treat. Eddie, this is mainstream media journalism here. How many times do they call him a racist in the first two sentences? Where do you start off with this, the story asks. First of all, the people he is mocking probably have a better grasp of English than he does? What is that about? Sure, people abbreviate on Twitter, but there's an abbreviation and there's wood. Secondly, his choice of target, an ethnic minority group, is cowardly. Now he's a coward. Jones comes across as a schoolyard bully for saying we should secure the border. He's a coward, a bully, a racist, immature, can't spell. But believe me, it gets better. No doubt he thinks it's all hilarious because he kills harmless animals for fun. He calls it hunting. This is the story. Now they're saying because he's a hunter, he kills harmless animals for fun. So we shouldn't be too shocked if he thinks that this is funny. The only shock is, the story says, he was able to get his knuckles. Yeah, then instead of hunting animals, he's trying to marry them, and then he'd be a good guy. It says that the only shock is that Chipper Jones was able to get his knuckles high enough off the ground to type the racist tweet. We must all understand that the allowance of, that's pretty much the story. They called him racist about 15 times. He's a Neanderthal. He's a bully. He's a coward. He kills harmless animals for fun. First of all, we've got to know that, listen, all this pushing, you know, this Jeb Bush stuff, this media stuff, this pushing of illegal immigration is nothing more than a plot to destroy Western civilization. But when you see someone being called, like Chipper Jones and John Rocker, a racist for wanting to keep illegal immigrants from breaking our laws as a sovereign nation, what the media is doing is most certainly setting up the spike for a borderless country. I mean, that's what they want. You're racist. Rocker didn't even mention the fact, he didn't even mention race. He just said, look, we need people to follow the rules and come in here legally. He didn't even say anything. He just said, if you put gator traps, you think that would stop them? Because obviously the laws and the fear of being arrested doesn't stop them, because they don't even enforce those laws anymore. It's kind of like a cafeteria line. The government now picks and chooses what they want to enforce. But, I mean, man, the hyperbole in that article is absolutely astonishing. I know you have a lot to say, Eddie.
I'm going to come back. First of all, I'd like to just let everybody know that I'm not going to apologize for Jack. We don't apologize for anything in this show. Like our motto is, and no retreat, no surrender, no apology. So if you're looking for apology, anything I say or James Edwards say, you'll be looking for the rest of your life. I'd just like to point out what we were saying a minute ago to take off on all the subsidies that the illegals get when they come to this country. I just happen to know of a church that's about 94% white. This church, I'm not going to call names tonight because I'm getting in some thin ice here where this person could be kicked out of the church. But this one church was about 94% of the people. There's one Mexican that goes to the church there. He brags about, hey, he came into the country illegally. He was a gangbanger. So all of a sudden he's discovered Jesus Christ. And not only has he been given unbelievable treatment from the government, every kind of aid program you can get on, him and his wife both drive brand new automobiles, make me and James just look like junkyard things. They have a black family with children, a Mexican family and children in this church. They both have jobs that they, kind of make work jobs, and they get their children to be educated free. But I just think that's pitiful. That really is. And, I don't know of a single person. As a matter of fact, at this particular church school, I know of white people there who've tried to make deals with the church to install surveillance equipment, to put in computer equipment to swap out for tuition. And that was turned down. I know that personally. I know two people have done that. James mentioned Israel. Most of the people pushing all this liberal crap, that a lot of them are these Zionist Jews. I mean, that's this. And once again, I don't apologize for that. I'm calling a spade a spade. And like we said this in this show many times, but it needs to be talked about often. One thing the political cesspool thinks kind of guilty about, we hit a lot of stories, we never come back to it. But in the country of Israel, in fact, I have a brother in my church that said, hey, he went to Israel. If you're a Southern Baptist, you got to go to Israel. That's like Mecca. You got to go there and you got to kiss the Jew, ground that the Jews walk on. He said over there, he was bragging about how the students and the teachers, anybody that wants to, can have an Uzi, any kind of full automatic weapon over their shoulder with their school, with their books. You'll see a rabbi with the Uzi over his shoulder. And, there is no such thing as gun control laws over there unless you're a Palestinian. And then you can't even have a rock. But these same people, James, as we know, that push for, they push for open borders in this country to dilute our racial identity, to stamp out the white race. The same people that push for totally open borders to want to disarm all the people, especially the white people in this country right here, to want to make incoming veterans ineligible to get firearms because they have the potential to be insane, according to Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, people, why would you join the army to get on a list that's going to automatically make you a person on the terrorist watch list where you can't get firearms?
At the same time, these people, at the same time, these Zionists, you know, they have their borders mined, just like James said. I mean, the sky's the limit. And I think James mentioned this earlier on, the whole strategy is to bring in blacks in all traditionally, in colors, in all traditional in all traditional white nations. You know, that's the thought. You don't see Mexicans migrating to Mexico. You don't see Mexicans migrating to Africa. You don't see Africans migrating to Mexico. It's just a huge double standard there. You know, the whole thing is the globalists, the Brotherhood of Darkness, I call them, they want to dilute our poor Christian white population. I mean, you can see it unfolding between your eyes.
Well, you're exactly right, Eddie. And look, you know, make no mistake about it. We believe that everybody should have a homeland. Everybody should be entitled to their representatives who go out and speak and advocate on their behalf. Everybody should be able to celebrate their cultural heritage. And that includes our people. And of course, the only double standard is, and it's the greatest double standard in the world, when you have a show like The Political Cesspool that hates no one but certainly stands up to serve as a voice for the European-American dispossessed majority, we get shouted down. While the others are celebrated and encouraged to speak out for their interests. We got
to
take a break.
To the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back to Get On the Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-888-888. 866-986-6397.
Well, the best part of the show you just heard was the music right there, as it always is when that clip, particular clip plays. Well, Eddie, we were talking more about the break, and we've had a clip that we've intended to play since the second segment of this hour, and it may very well be pushed back into the third hour, but we were talking about, it seems as though the motto is, you know, Mexico for the Mexicans, Japan for the Japanese, Sudan for the Sudanese, white countries for everybody. And it's not that we take issue with the fact that these people are coming here. I mean, if we were them, we would do it too. I mean, we'd be crazy not to. But in the spirit of true diversity, everybody is entitled and should be entitled to a homeland of their own. Because everybody is different. And everybody has different culture, different heroes, different beliefs. And you shouldn't force people of different backgrounds to have to blend. I mean, there's always going to be tension and conflict when you do that, just by the very nature of the process. But elaborate on that, Eddie, because you were saying, you know, you were talking about the one Mexican at your church that's given all of these subsidies and benefits, not just by our government, but by your own church, to prove that they're, I guess, anti-racist or anti-white. But you don't hold that against him. And you said, in fact, you would do the same thing if you were him.
Yes, I would. If I could go to a nation, if I could go to a country and they would forgive the bill that I owe the IRS that I've been fighting for since 2003, the IRS has never got off our back. They've hounded me and my wife for 10 years now. If I could go to a country that would take my IRS debt and put it over on the indigent population there, say for instance, if I go to Russia, or if I could go to Mexico, and the Mexicans say, come on in here, we're going to give you housing subsidy, food subsidy, education subsidy. Your kids can go to a great Christian school where there's no violence. We're going to pay that tuition. We're going to give you a little work, a little make job, and you won't have to hit a lick at a snake. You'll be able to drive the fine automobiles. You'll have special privileges. And what we're going to do, we're going to take your debt. We're going to take the debt for your medical care, for your housing, your house note, for your groceries, you name it. Name the debt you got that most people, working white people in the United States have. We're going to take that off your back, and we're going to put it on the other Mexican populations here. We're going to let them pay that debt. Well, you, of course, who wouldn't do that? Most people would. Some people probably wouldn't do it because of their conscience, but I'd say probably the vast majority would take advantage of that deal. They would do it. And see, that's bad. It's not even it's not just the government. It's the private. Yeah, get along with him. It's the private companies. Matter of fact, you know, we talk about the government spying on us with broke loose from the NSA, and I don't know why people are raising such cane about this, because we've been knowing about this for years. The NSA, the CIA is spying on every electrical transmission you have. I don't know why they're all of a sudden getting upset over it, but the same government that's spying on us day and night, you know, we have private companies doing the same thing, and private companies in bed with the government getting paid to supply them with computers, software, with the surveillance, you know, teams, all kind of stuff. You know, so the point I'm saying is the whole thing, this entire system, the spying, the NSAs, the churches, everything goes together it's against white people. They're euthanizing us. I mean, they really are. And I'd like to say this one more thing. I don't understand this. You were talking about this. What's this Kanye guy earlier? All right, he's married to a white person. If you love something, say for instance, if you marry a white person, why would you want to have a mixed breed child? And this, I'm really asking this. And if people want to say I hate, fine. I don't care what you think I hate, but I like white people. I think white people are the most beautiful race on earth. I personally am not attracted to blacks. I've never been attracted to the Mexicans. I really never have, and I certainly, I don't hate them. I'm not attracted to Orientals. I like a nice Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, white person, and evidently, all these the blacks do too. So why would you want to get a white woman pregnant and destroy the thing you love? Because the offspring from that sexual union is going to be, in my opinion, ugly. They're unattractive to me. I do not like. They call them mixed. I call them mulattoes. They don't appeal to me. It's just like if you have a brand new Mercedes, why would you cut the fender wells out of it and put mud tires on it like a four-wheel drive? I don't get it, man. I don't.
Well, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I would say, you know, I still maintain everybody should be entitled to, you know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say that while they're forcing it down our throats and it's coming to that point that I would force anyone. Like, if that's what you like, it's not for me. I don't advocate it, but and everybody should be entitled to a preference. I mean, preferences aren't racist necessarily. I'm sure a lot of people think I'm ugly, and that's fine. Eddie said we all know that. But, I mean, if there's black women out there that said, hey, you know, that's the ugliest guy I've ever seen. I'm not attracted to people that look like James Edwards. I'm attracted to black athletes and people like LeBron James. And, you know, that's fine. It wouldn't hurt my feelings. I mean, it's just everybody's entitled to a preference and to an opinion. Unfortunately, if it's unless you just lavish praise on mixed race unions, then, of course, you're a racist. And, Eddie, you have your beliefs, and you're entitled to them. Everybody should be. It's a free country, free speech, free association. But not necessarily racist, and that's the way it is. But I got to get to this story. No, this is this. You got like 1 second, because I got to get to this, because this is going to be a barn burner.
James, it's not a free choice, because in society, we mentioned this earlier, in society, in government, in schools, in all of society, this view is being pushed on white right. children. We talked about this on this show before. You take these MUS, one of the biggest schools in Memphis here. They have what they call bridges. They introduce white people, white children to black children, and tell the white people that they're racist. If you don't go out with these blacks, you're racist. If you don't go out with them. In fact, we had a joke here one night, me and Brother Keith, who said they have the big meeting with the blacks and the whites, and they said, are you racist to the white girls? He said, no, I'm not racist. Will you go out with me? Well, I don't think I want to. Well, you're a racist if you don't. He says, well, I might. Well, I'll be over 7 o'clock to pick you up, baby. I mean, that's the way it is. If they put pressure, there is no free choice. Well, most of the white people go to the school, come back. Most of the white people send their kids to these Christian schools to keep them away from the dangerous blacks and Mexicans. That's the fact. The choice is taken away by the immense pressure put on them by the media, by the government, and by these liberal hypocrite church people.
We have a soft totalitarianism. I mean, you definitely have programs like this, but they would say, well, we're not forcing you to marry someone outside of your race, but you are a racist if you do marry somebody within your own race. I mean, obviously. And so, you know, you see a lot of people. But you know, I truly do, and I know you agree, Eddie. I mean, I truly do respect and appreciate diversity, but I don't want it forced upon me. And you know, I don't want to be told that I'm a racist because I have a preference and a sexual preference and a preference with regards to women that I'm attracted to. I mean, you said it, you know, bluntly, albeit, but you know, what you said was certainly well and true and good. And I know it came from a good place, but it is a soft totalitarianism, because you have these programs like that put immense peer pressure to start getting you to go in such a direction. And, you know, where's the love of multiculturalism? I mean, if you mix everybody, there is no multiculturalism anymore. Everybody's the same. And then where's the diversity then? So, I mean, you know, as always, they're hypocrites. But I got it. All right, Eddie's going to ask me a question.
Okay, James, do you like to have sex with men?
Eddie asked me, well, I can't even repeat what he asked me. We'll have to talk about that. He asked me if I'm attracted to men, and so the answer would be no.
Well, then you must, obviously, then you're right. You're a homophobe.
Eddie said I must be a homophobe now because, yeah, you're right, I'm a hater. No, it's true. I mean, people could just absolutely, and this is not the case here, but people could absolutely hate other people just on the basis of the color of the skin, which a lot of people hate us because of who we are and what we stand for. But let's just say, I mean, because they are out there. Let's just say there are white people out there that do just absolutely hate for no other reason than people look different than them. It's just completely irrational. They hate because they look different. Well, this is America, not China. We don't agree with that. We don't agree with that type of thought process. But they should have the freedom to do so. And that's a little bit off course, but not much. Eddie keeps trying to talk without his mic turned on, and so no one's hearing what he's saying. I'm not even going to have time. We've been pushed back an hour now. I've had this great clip that I want Eddie to talk about the First Amendment. But we got about like 1 minute left until the next hour, and so we're going to have to get to that in the next hour. The only thing we covered this hour that I'd intended to was the Russia story about how Putin was cracking down on homosexuality. And we covered the fact that I'm ugly. Yes, we did. But besides that, everything we covered was good, mind you. This was off the beaten path. Hey, as I've been told, I'm not only ugly, I'm a racist, a homophobe, a fascist, a xenophobe, a Nazi, all around bad guy. But I am loved by the Bombardier, so that's what counts. That's what I'm going for. I'm loved by people like Sam Bushman and you, Eddie, in spite of it all. You can't fix ugly. Well, when we come back, I'll tell you this. I'm going to try to ground the Bombardier and follow some element of a format here, because I've got some great stories. I mean, you know, once Keith gets back on the show next week, there's not going to be any talking. He's going to take. It's like I said, he's going to be, when he gets his hand on the mic, it's going to be like me when I got my hands on a girl at my seventh grade dance. You know, he's not going to know what to do with it. He's not going to let it go either. take a break. We'll be back. The third hour's coming up.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.